Feeling lost and alone? Looking for validation from your partner, only to find the feeling of rejection and continued frustration? You're together yet so far apart. Now your frustration has turned into disdain and resentment. Your insecurities have begun to affect every aspect of your life. Ironically, you have now become the cold and detached one, shielding yourself from the uncertainties of your relationships. Dr. April Brown has created Bringing Intimacy Back, a series of discussions that are designed to help you reclaim what you have lost along the way. Dr. April will help you rediscover and reconnect to the intimate relationship your heart so desires. Go to www.bringingintimacyback.com today and let the healing begin.
Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. And on the show of Bringing Intimacy Back, we aim to help you increase the intimate connections between yourself, your significant other, your higher power, children, family, business, and community. We give you the secret power to intimacy to create the life you love, or love the life you create. Well, on today's show, today we're doing something a little bit different. We are talking about intimacy, and sometimes I have, you know, different guests and different experts on there on the show about intimacy. But today what we have is more than just an expert. We have actually a real couple who have such profound intimacy, lifelong marriage, that they're here today to talk to us about their secrets on how they create intimacy, how they keep it going. And they have a variety of different types of intimacy, but they also have a creative intimacy that is dealing with driving cars. And I know you guys are saying, what? How does that have anything to do with it? But yes, let me introduce you to a couple that I've known for many, many years. And this is Tonda Larson and Mike. Welcome.
Well, yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, yes. So, as a couple, how long have you guys been together?
Howdy.
I don't know.
Oh, now you don't know. She used to keep track of everything like that.
Yeah, well, we, you know, I can't
14
imagine.
Years now?
15, yeah.
14, 15?
2005, yeah, 2004, 5, something like that.
One of my disclaimers whenever we first started dating was that I was going to forget important dates and such, because, well, for instance, the fact that we're married is one of the most important things in my life. The date that we actually got married is not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we, you know, I mean, and over this decade plus, and I've really embraced that mentality with him. And, you know, like Valentine's Day, we celebrate that every single day, and all the other things. So it doesn't really matter, you know.
Okay.
And
okay, good. The great thing about you two is that you guys work together. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So can you share with our audience, how did your story begin? Who asked who?
Well, we were both a little broken, and a lot broken. And
we're talking about emotional, not finance.
No, emotional and from relationships. And I was a victim of a crime. And also we had, marriages prior to that ended poorly. And so we weren't looking for each other, which is probably why it worked. Go ahead.
Well, basically, at the point when I met Tonda, it wasn't that I thought all women on the planet were bad. It's just that I had come to the conclusion that I could not tell the difference between the good ones and the bad ones. Okay. And so basically my thinking was, you seem like a really great woman, but I've thought that before and been very wrong. At the point when we met, I didn't have a lot of faith in my ability to discern good, bad, or otherwise. So I was trying to stay away, actually.
Mike, where did you guys meet at?
What's that?
Where did you meet?
I was shooting pool, and she was meeting up with some friends of hers to go out for the evening. And they all happened to know the gentleman that I was shooting pool with. And all, like, she's a beautiful woman and she has a lot of beautiful friends. So when they started coming in one by one saying hi to him, I'm like, how do I get as cool as this guy? Like, who is this random guy that just pretty women just want to come up and say hi to him? But go ahead.
Well, and what he didn't know was that I was in the middle of a readmission program through friends that worked for the Sheriff's Department and the FBI, taking me back out to be integrated back into socializing and stuff, because I had massive triggers after the home invasion for, you know, people, for the smell of alcohol, for men in general, everything. So, you know, I was very much afraid of him or anyone that I didn't know, and I was trying to overcome that. And so he was like the least person that I was looking for or wanted to talk to. But he was standing up so straight, I couldn't resist. You know, as a former ballerina, posture is really important to me. So as I found us standing there next to each other, and I'm trying to be, you know, to have some sort of communication, I said, "You have great posture."
And I had never heard that before. It's amazing. All the things boys.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
That was her pickup line.
It was.
Well, she didn't need a pickup line. She was just beautiful. She didn't really have to say much. Other than the fact that I was not looking for someone to start dating with or get into a relationship with. She had my attention when she entered the building.
Oh, good. So our audience may be wondering why there's two screens, why you guys are in different locations.
Well, yes. I'm in Orlando at a work convention, and so can't be helped.
And I got home early, so.
Okay. Yes, but they still have such great connection. So this show is about intimacy. And what is you guys' definition of intimacy?
The term "I love you anyway" comes to mind. Yeah, actually, one of the ways I've described it before is that Tonda is the operating system that I'm operating on. She's the operating system that I run on. We are part of it. Is and I guess it although it seems like probably a bad plan, again, since I was not looking for a relationship when I met her, I kind of led with all the downsides to me, versus when most people do their courtship dance, it's, you know, you've got your best face on, the best thing you can put forward, and let all the bad stuff show up later on down the line. But not in this case. I was kind of trying to scare her away. So I was like, you know, I'm going to forget important dates. I don't do well at pretending to care about things I don't care about. There was a sizable list. And I said, you know what? My ex-wife said these were problems that I had. And I said, and it's all true. And I'm never going to change. But I think it had something to do with the preacher I caught her screwing. But but basically I led with all the negatives, and Tonda said, that's your list. I said, yeah. She goes, that's it. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm not changing. And she goes, oh, okay. And then I didn't have an answer after that.
Okay, so you led a very authentic dance.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes. She handed me the paper where she was on the was it the front page?
Yes.
The news press. She was on the front page of the news press regarding her attack. Mm-hmm. And she just slid that across the table. We were having lunch at Applebee's at the time there. And that of course, did not disqualify her in any way, shape, or form, as far as I was concerned.
Okay, great. Yeah, so you both had some trauma, which we'll talk a little bit more in depth, but you were able to come together and trust each other because you were both authentic and that. Yes.
Oh, definitely.
So throughout the marriage now, how, and you guys have, is it two kids? Am I correct?
Three.
Three kids. Yes. What are their ages?
24. Well, let's start with my kids.
19. So well, he's going to be 20 in July.
20, 24, 28.
Yes. So how important, how have you guys been able to keep intimacy and raising kids and all that kind of stuff?
We've kind of got a two-pronged approach. I basically, I don't get involved until it's very important and very necessary. Like I've called myself kind of the minesweeper. I just try and make sure that they don't step on the proverbial mines, the big stuff that will alter whatever it is they're planning to do for the rest of their life. Getting addicted to drugs, out of wedlock pregnancy, stuff that could just totally change whatever you're planning on doing. And Tonda, is more involved on a more constant basis, staying in touch with keeping their pulse, whatnot. It seems to have worked out well, although I give most of the credit to her. She does most of the heavy lifting.
Well, and how we keep the intimacy between ourselves is we have a lot of trust with what the other one's telling the kids. We don't have to micromanage each other. And we make time for each other. And they're all out of the house now, so it's a lot easier. But even back when they weren't, we still did our own, really autocrossing at that time was the thing that was our time to go to the track, to be together, didn't have to worry about, the practices and homework and all that stuff at that time. It was just our time then. So.
Yeah. So you just mentioned autocrossing. What exactly is autocrossing?
You want me to explain that?
Yes.
Okay. a lot of times when we say autocrossing to people who have never heard of it, they think of rally crossing, which is the cars racing through the woods and jumping through the air. We're not like that. Autocrossing is you take an open area. A lot of times it's an airstrip, but sometimes larger parking lots and whatnot. You set up, you use cones to set up a road course, and then you run the course for time in a car. There's different formats, different numbers of runs, but a lot of times basically, in all cases, if you knock over a cone, it's a 2-second penalty. So you're probably going to lose unless your competition also hits them. And basically it's, as motorsports goes, it's cheap. It's a cheap way to race cars. Although I don't know that there is any real cheap way to race cars.
Okay, so how is that, like the autocrossing, how does that help you guys come together as a couple?
Well, I mean, first of all, we spend an enormous amount of time doing it. So just
the road trips are awesome whenever we race nationally.
Road trips are our favorite. Getting to where we're going to race is 2 or 3 days in the front and the back side of the race. And so we have an enormous amount of time. You're very aware, April, that he's quite the singer. And I get a lot of serenades on the way across the country, which is my favorite thing. We just talk and laugh and, make a plan. And then we work on the driving. We do data in our driving, and so we analyze it, especially on the way back, and watch the videos of our runs and talk about usually what I can do better because he's really, really good. and so it's just everything, because we're both very competitive, but we're trying to help each other. It just works.
Okay, so is it pretty like dangerous in the sense of racing the cars? Kind of like when you go on those, for me, a roller coaster, where you get all your heart is pumping and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
it can be.
If you do it right, you're
yeah, you got the shakes whenever. Basically, the fastest way through the course is to risk making mistakes all the way around, but not actually make a mistake. So you do kind of get right there on the razor's edge. And when it all comes together, it's gratifying. It's a lot like any sport. And in that, you're trying to push yourself to be better. And then you have competition around to kind of use as a benchmark. And I think it's something innate where everyone wants to be a better version of themselves, try and get better at whatever it is they're doing. So, and Tonda's especially an overachiever when it comes to that aspect of human nature.
Yes. You guys ride together in these cars?
Whenever we're doing the long road trip stuff and on test and tune, which is usually before, you get to ride together. But for the competition, one of us is in the car and the other one is outside watching, just cheering.
Oh, awesome. So being very supportive of one another as they're, doing the race, you're having that empathetic ability to support, which is very important in a marriage.
I risked getting in trouble at Nationals when she won her first national trophy, I was going out to do my work assignment because at least at one point during the day when you're not driving, you need to go do a work assignment. So to help the whole event run, I was supposed to be out there noting who hits what cones. And she was out of the trophies. And on her last run, I just happened to get to my worker station and I saw her time when she came across. She got into the trophies on her last run at the national championship. And I handed the guy next to me my clipboard and said, "My wife just won her first trophy. I'll be right back." And I totally just left my workstation and went running back to grid.
Yeah.
But I didn't get in trouble, so.
He came plowing through the whole crowd of people and swept me up. It was movie-like. It was.
She was but awesome.
I'm always more happy to win because of how proud he is of me when I do well. And that's what makes it so exciting for me because – earlier in the year, last March, I won a regional event, and he was actually working the course during that one as well. And when he was coming off course, he was in tears, and everybody knew that I had won. And it was so special for me that he was that happy for me. So then I was like, oh, he'll be so happy if I, you know, trophy at nationals. And so that, I think part of my joy of winning is how happy it makes him.
Oh, it's too sweet. Yes. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I really want to talk about how you guys, like you said, you started off broken. And many times when people start off broken, they have no trust. And then it's gone full-fledged to now that you guys, like, have each other's back. You're always supporting one another. Yes. How are you able to let down those barriers that for many couples they get stuck at? So we're going to take a little break and we're going to go into commercial vacation counseling, one of my newest adventures. And when we get back, that's what we're going to talk about. Let's see. I'm seeing if he puts on the... Okay, I'm not sure if he puts on the vacation counseling video of I. But anyway,
are
I will talk about
a vacation in paradise.
It's Harry. It's
a
Harry.
Vacation to rekindle the passion. A vacation
just
without
took a
the
couple
kids.
Seconds,
a vacation where you can learn how to communicate, where you and your partner hear each other and gain insight. Vacation counseling is your next vacation. Stay in one of our exclusive villas for the ultimate couples retreat. Enjoy dining, boating, and all that South Florida has to offer. Let our counselors guide you through the rest. Vacation counseling, accepting applications for summer 2020. Visit www.vacationcounseling.com for more information.
All right, well, welcome back. On today's show, we're talking about creative intimacy with Tonda and Mike Lawson, and we're talking about the creative intimacy they use through Auto Crossing. But I want to focus a little bit on, because as they started the show and they talked about how they started off as broken. In other words, they both had previous relationships and traumatic incidents. And so they came into relationship hurt. And I see this many times in therapy. But how are you guys able to let down that guard to start to trust and be vulnerable to another person?
Honesty. Yeah, I mean, we pretty much laid it all out on the table. Didn't try to sugarcoat anything. Said these are all the things that I can't be around. These are things I don't trust. These are things I can't ever have in my life again. This is, you know, all the things. And like he said, we call it the short list. We just basically are like, this is my list. This is your list. You know, we don't want to die alone. We don't want to have a miserable, you know, existence, not to share all the joys of life, but we can't ever go to the places we've been before. So we kind of made a pact that, you know, and I would have never trusted him if I hadn't seen how broken he was over what had happened to him. Because when I saw really how broken he and hurt and just how deeply it was to him, I knew he would never inflict that on me, on anyone, you know. And so I think that was really it.
I think that, and we explained this to one of our other, to a couple friends of ours that are a couple, that it's easier to be intimate whenever you know that the other person is committed to the relationship. When you are not worried about some negative aspect of your personality or who you are, when you're not worried that they're going to be pushed away by it, it's easier to open up when you know that the other person is committed. And that's kind of what we joke about with the short list. Basically, there's a short list of deal breakers. And if you have something that you do not like about the other person and it's not on the list that we agreed to previously, then we better find a way to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because we're not going anywhere.
And what it really does is it prioritizes the things that really matter, because, you know, some of the things that, you know, when you're younger or when, you know, you think all the little things have to be perfect for you to be happy, you suddenly realize none of those things make you happy, you know. Mm-hmm. And so you just really focus on what it is. And that's having somebody that, you know, that I can count on, that loves me. And really, sometimes he doesn't even love me, right?
Are you kidding?
Me or not like me. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Make you do something. But, you know what I mean? We don't always
get along every second of the day. Sometimes we manage to get on each other's nerves. But that's different than not loving.
And we joke and say, well, we're stuck with each other because we, you know, we're
or I love you anyway.
No,
yes.
What. That's right. Yeah. And then you can just get through it. And then, you know, and those days are very far and few between.
Mm-hmm. True.
You're very happy when you choose to be happy every day. It's a choice every day to make a happiness choice.
I also have to wonder if whenever you resolve that this is what you signed up for, the good and the bad, and that leaving is not an option, like it doesn't even cross your mind, then everything that's on your mind is how do I make this work? How do I make this work? And I don't feel like it's ever been a position of stress where that was necessary. But on the other hand, it may be a chicken or the egg thing. Maybe that's why this has seemed to be so easy to me or to us, is because on the list of things that we need to do when we have a problem, leaving isn't on it.
Right.
It's not even on the list of things to do.
Right. One of the other things that I notice, and let me give some background. I know Mike does a lot of music and he's very artistic, right?
Yes.
And from my experience with Tonda, she's very analytical in some aspects. Yes. Yes. So the other thing I noticed is you guys never try to change one another.
Oh, yes. Wow. That is probably... Again, one of my favorite things about our relationship is that basically whenever we met each other, we signed up for what we had. Neither one of us went into this thinking the other person was a fixer-upper.
Okay.
This person would be so great if. No, that was not the way we went into it. This person has this is the awesomeness. This is the stuff that's less than awesome. Do I want it? Yes or no? Yes, very much yes. Whenever I met her, once we got to know each other, I didn't go into this, and obviously she didn't come into this relationship with, oh, wouldn't it be nice if he picked up after himself better? No, she mentions it from time to time, but I still don't.
Right.
actually, you could still see my lunchbox in the background. It is not where it belongs.
I see it. and you know what? Like at the end of the day, does it really matter where it's at? And that's, I think he hit the nail on the head. Once you define the parameters of your happiness, then all those other things are just not in there, and you're not going anywhere. So all you're doing is putting positive energy into being grateful for everything that you have. So, you know, instead of seeing the lunchbox and going, oh my goodness, I can't believe it's not in the kitchen, I'm like, I am so grateful that, you know, I have him and that he loves me and supports me and that he's doing this. I mean, just that's all that comes into my mind. It's not even a thought.
Right. And many times I will just say preference, more women or sometimes even certain men struggle with that concept. of just accepting a person for who they are and and being thankful. And I wonder if also part of it, because you guys came from traumatic backgrounds, that you have more appreciation of what's really important versus the small stuff.
Perspective, yeah. I think, is a good word for that.
Mm-hmm.
It actually reminds me in when raising children, one of the things I tried to remind myself of as the children were young, when like if they would have something happen, it would be very traumatic to them at that age, at that point in their life that they're going through it. As an older person, I know that once they get to my age, they're just going to laugh about that. But telling them that won't help anything right now. In their scope of experience, this trauma is real and it's huge and it matters to them. And so remembering or understanding perspectives has helped a lot. And I think the fact that both of us have had a lot of experience, good and bad, helps us see things a little better than we might have if we were in our 20s or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my bar for bad is really high. So, you know, like, you know, it's just perspective is everything. I mean, alive people problems, that's what I say, you know, and every day is just, it's just such a blessing because we're choosing to make it that way.
Yes, yeah. So you guys are such busy people. How do you, and I know it's at different stages of life, but how do you guys keep that connection when you're traveling here, doing this?
Do you schedule it
or what?
Well, myself, I enjoy it with, I'm obviously married to a beautiful woman and her line of business has her interacting with high-powered alpha types on a regular basis. And it's probably a little bit of a miracle after my past relationship that it doesn't make me nervous in the least because I trust her and I know I can. So whenever we're and she knows that she doesn't have to worry about me. So whenever we're apart, you don't have anything gnawing at you other than missing the other person.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a big part of it. And I wasn't as great at that in the first 5 years as I am today. I really did feel left out sometimes when I was going to Hodges, when I was working, you know, all the time. I had to step away from autocrossing. I had to step away from going to the Tail of the Dragon for our annual trip. And I had to, there was some time where it was like, I'm going to have to sacrifice all other things to get to this next stage in life that we need and me to get to. And that was hard for me because it was a difficult time and I had a back injury. So just nothing really was going well, except I was advancing my education and my career and stuff. And that we knew that would ultimately put us back in a good place and get us to where we want to go for our lifetime. But those few years were difficult for me and it was tough. And the only thing that got both of us through those times was all the things, the short list, knowing that we were always going to be here. And this was only a small piece of the, you know, whole lifetime we had together. So, but now, I mean, I just miss him like crazy, but you know, we can FaceTime. I watched him on Twitch last night. we stay connected. We text, he tells me every single day how much he loves me. And so do I. We just stay connected.
Okay, so Tanya, you mentioned a part that a lot of couples struggle with, whether it's the women or the men. They're going for their career and they're doing X, Y, Z, but that's pulling them away from their family and from their kids. And as a partner, sometimes partners feel left out. The person's going to, you know, be successful and leave me behind. Yeah. And one who's struggling is trying to do everything and thinking I'm missing out. I mean, yeah, that is very... How do you keep the, because there are people out there listening now and they're in that predicament. How do you keep the hope and make sure that the time you spend is quality time with your family?
Well, for me, it was, you know, balance is not existent. And so I always just try to say it's got to be about the harmony to where you understand that at the end of the day, when you put all the pieces together, you're going to have this great song of life, right? But right now, like work or whatever has to be 90% and you only get 10%, but that 10% is going to be really quality. So maybe Mike and I would jump in the car and drive over to the other coast and get an ice cream cone and turn around and drive back.
Yes.
You know, we did that a lot, or we'd drive all the way to Everglades City and then turn around and come right back. But what it was consolidated time together in the car where we were doing what we do, just being together, having conversation, singing to me, you know, just talking about life and no other distractions. And even though it was a real small piece of time, it was extremely valuable.
And I think it helps to also know that whenever, because I could feel the disconnection during that time. And I felt a little helpless because I couldn't take any tests for her. I couldn't make anything work. Like I couldn't climb the mountains for her that she was climbing. But it goes going back to the awareness of the commitment from the other person. She knew that while we weren't together as much as we wanted to be, that I wasn't going anywhere. She was going to know right where to find me whenever she had some time. Yeah. And I would be right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So Mike, from your perspective, you are really a great, awesome cheerleader and you're always supporting her and stuff. Yes. How did you learn as a man to do that? Did that come from childhood or you read some books or all the songwriting or?
Well, it's a two-edged sword. I think it's just a byproduct of the fact that I have a tendency to think out loud and I don't have much of a filter. Most of the time with such an awesome wife, it's just good stuff. But every now and then I say stuff that she wishes I hadn't. you take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
But it's the cheerleading thing is primarily, and I don't mean to sound campy. Is that the word? But I mean, she is an abnormally awesome person. I've joked that smart and pretty is, you can get any guy's attention if you're smart and pretty. She is really pretty and she is crazy smart. Like, and she hates for me to ever talk about the fact that I've ever dated anyone other than her, but I have dated women before that I thought were probably smarter than me. She is the only woman I've ever been with where there's just no question. She's just way smarter than me. Like by a mile, and I'm okay with that. But it's not difficult to be a cheerleader when you have a team like this to cheer for.
Okay. And I think also one of the things that it seems with you, Mike, that you're secure in you.
Yes.
Yes.
Because he's pretty awesome himself, you know.
Yes.
He's not selling himself to be quite the person he is, but he is extremely smart. And I don't know that I'm smarter for sure, but I know I was smart enough to make sure that he fell in love with me and stayed with me forever. So I guess maybe I am pretty smart. I did pick you first.
well, we've got our short list, but then as far as the awesome list for me, it's pretty short. Tonda has a very long list of things she does extremely well. There's a few things that I do really well. And while I'm doing them, yeah, I'm awesome. But it's funny, though, because as soon as you move me like a few degrees to the left or a few degrees to the right, you're like, where did you find this idiot?
You have a lot of things that you're really great at.
Okay. Yes. And the great thing about you guys is that you guys use a lot of good humor, which is really great. Yes, 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 yes. And then you guys, besides autocrossing, you guys do a lot of different things together. Yes, yes. And I think you're even starting a new foundation.
We've got two projects, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. So on the commercial break, I would love for you to talk about the foundations that you're doing and let the audience know how to connect with you and get more information about those two foundations. So you can take it away.
All right. I think you're up.
Howdy. Yes.
Oh, I thought
that was your cue. You're live.
I didn't know that was. I thought it was a commercial break. Sorry. So yes. So we have a new project. A couple of them. One being Winning at Life Today, which is really just started out as a project up in the mountains when we were at the Tail of the Dragon at one of our road trips, and I kept finding pennies. I found 11 pennies in a day on one walk. And I said, you know, the thing is that, you know, when you find them heads up, people think, oh, well, I'm going to have a better day. But if you find them heads down, suddenly like, oh no, the world's falling apart. I'm like, just turn the penny over. Now you're having a great day, you know? and now the next person that finds it heads up, you made them have a nice day. So it started there. And then we were walking at an autocross function that we were at, and one of our competitors and friends said that we were winning. And he said, no, you guys are winning at life. And we have several people that call us like couple goals. And, you know, a lot of people just pointing out to the fact that we have this pretty figured out compared to a lot of people. And we are living our best life, being our best selves. We are happy and grateful, and we're just really making it work. And I think, you know, we started sharing more about that, and I started creating all these, you know, ways that I thought we could inspire people and motivate people to find that for themselves. And so we've got a website, social media followings for the Winning at Life Today project. I have a daily inspiration email that you can sign up to receive. That's really awesome. So I've brought other friends into it. Now it's bloomed into where I call it planting seeds of positivity, gratitude, and kindness. And what I'm really doing is trying to help people make their own impact on themselves, on the people they love, on their communities. And I want to be sort of the place where everybody plants those seeds, and then we help people grow them. And so I have friends that are getting involved and sharing their aspects. Our daughter-in-law, she's an artist, so we want to promote her art. My daughter has a macrame company that she does on the sides and does that. We know people that are into sports that want to promote their sports knowledge and trivia, writing books. Mike is gone off on the simulator streaming aspect of it. So we're trying to help and encourage
a little bit of a shove from my family members.
Yes.
Not just her.
Yes. And so we're trying to, you know, we're trying to create a place where other people could come and say, hey, this is how I win at life. Like, the way I do it is not what somebody else may not want to do autocrossing at all, but they might be like, oh, well, maybe my bird watching or my whatever else is the way I'm going to win at life today. And that's okay. That's a perfect way for you to do it. So share it and help other people do it too. So we're looking at, you know, just starting and seeing how much it can grow and how much we can impact the world with it.
Awesome. So on your website and on your social media, it's Winning at Life
Today. Winning at Life Today.
Winning at Life Today. Awesome. Yes, yes. And just for our audience to know, what exactly does Winning at Life Today actually mean?
Well, if you're alive, people, problems are good ones to have. And if you just start there, you're winning at life today, right?
Yeah.
And then from there, you just need to use that platform to show your gratitude, to do random acts of kindness, to impact your lives, your family's lives, your community's world, with all the greatness that you have in you. You know, if Mike hadn't have started singing because I prompted him to, all of that musical genius that he has, all of that gift that God gave him would still be inside of him, and he would have never shared that with the world. And I don't want people to go about existing in life and not realize there's a place to let out their joy. I just feel like we all have a joy, and we should let it out.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. Yes. And so, as we on to the third part of this broadcast here, it's where we give tips to couples. And so as I'm hearing, you guys came together, had two little pieces of paper or whatever, say, here's my pros, here are my cons. And now look at what you've developed of helping not only other couples, but individuals at winning at life.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, through that. So as couples are out there listening, or even individuals, what are some tips that you guys can help if people are struggling in developing an intimate connection with their significant other or even with themselves and not getting the things out of life that they want to. What are some tips?
Want more for the person that you love to be happy? Make that your priority. Make whatever that makes them happy, make that your joy. Because if you truly in your heart want that person to be their perfect person, their perfect self, their winning at life today self, then you're going to be fulfilled, they're going to be fulfilled, and you have a connection that's just unbelievable.
And there's a bit of an art to it too. Tonda has made it look easier than I think it could be for many people in that there's probably some aspects of me that I would be happier with if I just did it X, Y, and Z way. And she can see this from the outside looking in. But rather than take a crowbar and beat me over the head with it going, do this, do this, do this, she just nudges a little bit here and there. And she's also done a really good job. And it's funny. I kind of bring this back to driving. My best driving comes whenever I'm interacting with the vehicle instead of making demands of it. And Tonda's really good with me about interacting with me whenever she thinks she sees something that if I were doing it differently or trying something new that she thinks I would enjoy, she's really good of interacting with me rather than just saying, you need to do this or do that. Because I think it would probably be very easy. It's just human nature. It's where you think you can see something that the other person or the person you're with doesn't see, and you know they'd be better off if they would just do X. But if you try and force it, you can actually create more problems. So one thing that Tonda has been really good at with me is that she's managed to show me that I can be happier than I even thought I could be without beating me over the head with a happy stick, for lack of a better way to put it. Like there's some things like this Twitch thing. There's been a few things that she said I should probably try this or try that or expand my horizons. But not all of it always pans out. Sometimes I start and I'm like, no, it's just too much of, and she doesn't force square pegs into round holes. She's pretty good about it. So I do think that in her advice to want the person you're with to be happy, how you do it matters too.
Right, definitely. And so one of the things you guys have been talking all the way through, and you actually used the word just now, is the interaction.
Yes.
Yes. That's so important. And even to create and to maintain that strong bond, it's about interaction, not just, as you say, barking orders or yes. Yes.
Yeah. And she's accepted that being right, because she is usually right, being right in and of itself is not enough. She knows that she's got to find a way to make it work.
Right, right. So, Mike, from a husband perspective, what are some other ways to help couples increase intimacy?
Oh, this is, I've always felt that Tonda was the thing that makes everything work in our relationship, in that I was just lucky to have signed up for this trip that she's been taking us on. So I feel underqualified trying to tell men. I mean, basically my best advice is go find another Tonda. Good luck, by the way. Marry that and you're good. So one of the things that I think I do well though is that I recognize the stuff I should appreciate about her. I don't take her for granted. And I make sure that she knows that I don't take her for granted. And it's, aside from that.
And you're honest to me, and you have great things over the years. Like, he's my fashion advisor for,
all that,
learning.
Yes, to but that that's part of the, yes, part of that is actually being able to, she's able to accept that I'm honest. When I tell her she's beautiful, it's because she's beautiful, not because I just want her to feel better. So whenever she started messing with Stitch Fit, I think it was, she'd try some outfits on. And I'm like, honey, you look like an old woman that's trying too hard. Send that back. That ain't going to work. Like, so, and then on other stuff, I'm like, oh, you look good in that. You should keep that. But yeah, Like when she asks me for an opinion, she's ready for my opinion. She's not looking for me to just say something that makes her happy. She wants to know. Yes, no, maybe so, whatever. And so when I give her the truth, she can actually handle it. And she doesn't get angry with me for it when it's not a truth she's looking for.
Okay, so great. So you do one of, we sometimes in the show talk about the five love language. And one of them is words of affirmation. And you do a really good job of providing her with a lot of words of affirmation. And like you said, you're authentic with it, which is kind of the basis of your relationship.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, because I don't think the words of affirmation would serve much of a purpose if she ever once thought I was just making it up as I went along. Yeah. Like if she has to know that if she's having a bad hair day, or if she's, you know, if she's got an outfit on that's not particularly flattering, I'm not just going to come tell her, hey, look, that's an awesome outfit or great dress or whatever. If I tell her something, she needs to know that it's true.
He is my rock, and all of what I build my confidence on to go out and climb those mountains, because I know that his faith in me, his honesty, and all of the things that he's told me and that he helps build me up with, I can go out and present them to the world as authentic, because I believe in his honesty.
Great, yes. And now that you two are you guys empty nested now, I think, with no kids?
Woohoo!
Yes, we are. Although we have a lot of racing kids that come and stay with us now.
Yeah, we're a little bit of a hotel at this point.
Which we love. We call it the Lawson Inn, and it's always open for autocrossers.
Yes. One of the things I see sometimes is couples who are empty nesters, before they solely connect because of their kids. But once their kids are gone, they have no connection. And one of the good reasons why I had you guys on, because you guys have found something to connect on, and more than one thing, you've connected on a variety of things. Yes. How do you guys manage all of that?
Well, she manages it. I just watch her in amazement.
Yeah, but you're
right. We make a choice. You know, we make a choice to do our things together. We have our, and one of the great things about us is that we have our time together, and we respect and make sure that we allow in our schedules the times that each other has things that the other one doesn't want to do, so that they can go and do them. Because I both of us agree, this is a big thing, right? We don't make each other do the things the other doesn't really want to do, not interested in.
One of the things that I brag to my friends about with Tonda is that, is the way she doesn't drag me to things. Like she has a lot of functions she has to go throughout the course of the year. And she doesn't drag me and demand that I go to all these things. And it's very rare. Every now and then it's necessary that I show up, but because she doesn't wear it out or play that card all the time, when she tells me that I need to put on a suit and go somewhere, I just go. Like, cause she's not, I get the impression sometimes, although it's been a while since I've heard one of these sad stories, is that someone's spouse seems to gauge how much they are loved by that spouse by how much they're willing to suffer. Like they know their spouse doesn't want to go to such and such event. They know that they're going to be miserable the whole time, yet they insist that they go. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking maybe they're telling themselves, look how much, you know, Bob is willing to suffer to be with me. He must really love me. But I don't think that's a good way to nail down that someone else is in love with you, is that look how much they'll suffer for me. No, that's not a good plan, at least not in my book. And she doesn't do that to me. She doesn't seem to want to measure how much I love her by how much I will suffer for her.
Yeah. So, and I really like how you put that. We shouldn't try to make our partner suffer. And the constant thing in here is just being authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, that each of you know what each of you like. And so the other things that I see with couples is sometimes they always try to do everything together. And I'm so happy that you guys have.
No.
Yes, we definitely don't. There's certain things that she wants to do where I'm like, do I need to be there? She's like, no, actually, you should not be there. So some of the things she's like, no, you're not going to go there. No.
Well, you know, I had season tickets to Barbara B. Mann because, you know, I'm all about the performing arts and going to live performances and stuff like that. And, you know, and I know that Mike would much rather be, you know, in the driving simulator or doing something else. And so if I know that I'm happy and I'm watching a live play and he's in the simulator and he's happy, then it's just a win-win. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Yes, yes, yes. Well, thank you guys so much for being in the show. Tonda, can you tell us again where we can find information about your two projects and how to contact you guys? And Mike, I didn't even get a chance for you to talk about all your music things. So, yeah, take it away.
You'll have to have him back. Okay, no. So winningatlifetoday.com or on Facebook or Instagram at Winning at Life Today. And then Mike's Twitch handle is Z, one and only with the number, with the letter N, right, honey? And then 172, correct?
Yeah, that's my car number whenever we're racing. Yes. Yeah, yes. Z1NONLY 172 on Twitch.
Right. And so, Mike, because you are so, you've just been outstanding, can you tell us a little bit about your music? So if anyone interested to hear?
Okay. No. Basically, yes. the thing about production music, what I've got is a pretty good ear. My voice, I actually think, is not particularly interesting. But whenever you sing, like this mic that I'm using right now, I've done a bunch of stuff just on Audacity for Tonda. Basically, I guess the best way I can sum it up is she's got about 8 or 9 songs that I've done for her, but I have attempted like 30. And the reason she doesn't have 30 songs is because most of them sounded terrible.
That's not true.
Nine of them sounded pretty good. So, yeah, it's...
If to download those records for you online, I'm happy to share his singing, and I can prove to you how wonderful he is.
Yeah, I was just wondering if people are wanting to listen to those 8 or 9 songs, or, you know, because you are so... and I didn't realize, you're so inspirational. Yes. So...
Put them on the website. They're going to be on the website. Okay. We will upload a link to those this weekend and make sure those are available.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Brown.
Well, and let me tell you, April, I can't tell you how many times I have driven from one client meeting to another, and I listen in the car to those songs over and over. By the time I get there, I have completely re-lifted my confidence. I have turned my, you know, last negative meeting, maybe something was wrong, somebody had a horrible problem, whatever they were stressed about, or somebody was telling me about a horrible medical problem they had. And it's just everything in health insurance, you know, there's a negative aspect to it, and it really starts to weigh on you mentally. And so being able to have him with me in the car during the day to go from those appointments and to completely turn my attitude and my world around so that I can go into the next meeting without that same baggage and despair from the last meeting has been invaluable to me over the years. I cannot thank him enough for all of that. It just goes straight to my heart.
Awesome. Awesome. Because Mike sings and you write.
Oh, no.
You sing? And
I sing. I rap, too. I actually rap better than I sing. Yes. Although it's because I can't rap. Because I can't write, I don't do freestyle or anything like that. It's usually just other people's stuff that I've heard or grown up with.
Okay. Awesome. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I wish you two a wonderful, happy Valentine's. And thank you guys so much for being on the show and letting us enter into your life and get a little understanding, and hopefully that it's helped millions of couples out there. Thank you guys so much for being on the Bringing Intimacy Back show.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, April. You're amazing.
Thank you. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.